1972, and I'm going to bring you some excerpts from a term paper on the history of Maine written by Larry Wilcox while he was a student at Fort Kent State College in 1968. Larry is now a teacher and a citizen of our community, and he has just recently come back from serving in Germany with the army. He has been kind enough to let us use some of this information that he has obtained for his term paper on the town of Washburn. The town of Washburn was formerly known as Township Number 13, Range Number 3. The town was then owned by the state of Massachusetts, which held each alternate township in this area. In 1820, the state of Maine joined the Union, and the township then became the property of the state. Farnham Brothers purchased 10,000 acres of land in the northern part of this township. They divided the land up into lots, and these lots were sold to settlers for $3 per acre. The settlers were required to pay $50 down and were allowed all the time they needed on the balance if the interest was paid each year. The lower section of the town was owned by the Dunns. They owned most of the land from both sides of the Roostook River. This land was also broken up into lots and sold to the settlers. All of the lots on both sides of the river were sold, first because the land was excellent for farming, and also because of the river itself, which provided a means of transportation. The first name given to the township was Salmon Brook, named after the brook that flows through the middle of the town. It was in the winter of 1844 and 45 that the township was organized into the plantation of Salmon Brook, having been surveyed by W.D. Parrott in 1842. In 1861, the plantation of Salmon Brook was incorporated into an organized town. The town was named Washburn after Governor Israel Washburn, the governor of the state at that time. The town manager form of government was taken up by Washburn in 1931, with Woodby E. Brackett as the first town manager. The town made many improvements in its first year under the town manager form of government. The first business in the town was a sawmill. This mill was built on the banks of the Salmon Brook by Isaac Wilder in 1842. The mill contained an up-and-down saw and clapboard machine. The products from Wilder's mill flowed down the Roostook and St. John Rivers to Fredericton, New Brunswick. Isaac Wilder kept a few goods for sale at his sawmill, but there were no store built. But there was no store built in the town until 1860. This store was built by Chancey Harris, and in 1861 he rented it to Nathan Perry from Bangor. In 1865, Benjamin Wilder built another store where he traded until 1871. In that year, he sold the store to Nathan Perry, who now lived in Presque Isle. Perry sold his store to the Farnham Brothers, who were the most prominent businessmen in Washburn at that time. In 1876, the first starch factory was built in the town of Washburn by Miller and Frost of the New Hampshire Company. Another starch factory was built east of Washburn a few years later by the same New Hampshire Company. The town grew and prospered much by the establishment of these two starch factories. Even today, along the banks of the Salmon Brook, there is a starch factory owned by A.E. Staley and Company. In 1912, a veneer mill was built by the Northern Veneer Company. This mill was located on the west side of the town. It was destroyed by fire in 1916. In 1920, the Washburn Trust Company was organized. Its first president was Andrew J. Beck. During the Depression of the early 30s, the Washburn Trust Company was one of the very few banks in the state of Maine that didn't fold up. While other banks were paying 25 and 50 cents on a dollar, the Washburn Trust Company paid dollar per dollar to all of its investors. In 1942, McCormick and Company of Baltimore built a dehydrated potato plant in Washburn. The entire production of this plant went to the armed forces. At the end of the war, the demand for dehydrated products was low. The plant was then discontinued and converted into a frozen French fry plant by Maxim Foods System. They were unsuccessful, but in 1949, under the direction of Harry Humphrey, Tater State Products was formed. In 1952, the plant was producing a great number of products, and its name was changed to Tater State Frozen Food. The town of Washburn has had many churches in its 100 plus years of history. The founders of Washburn seem to have been Congregational and Baptist. Before the first church was built, meetings were held in barns and then in the schoolhouse. In 1859, Deacon Tabor and his family arrived from South China, Maine. He was subsequently instrumental in organizing several Sunday schools in the surrounding area. The first pastor was Elder Robert Patton, who served from 1873 to 1877. Elder E.W. Harrington became the pastor of the first church in Washburn, which was built in 1880. The denomination of this church was Baptist. The Washburn Methodist Church was organized March 3, 1892. The first pastor of the Methodist Church was Reverend I.H. Lidstone. In 1915, the Washburn Pentecostal Church was built. Its founders were the Reverend and Mr. Nelson J. Morgan of Mount Waste. In 1922, a Roman Catholic church was organized in Washburn by Dr. and Mrs. H.D. McManus. This church was originally built by the Mormons, who failed to attract a large enough congregation to help finance expenses of it. So the Catholics fought a bit. With the spread of the Baptists in 1951, the Conservative Baptist Church of Washburn was organized. The church is located on East Main Street, opposite the First Baptist Church. In 1844 and 1845, school was held in the house of one of the settlers. The first schoolhouse was built in 1848, and there was a good enrollment of students for the first year. In the next few years, schools were held in a one-room schoolhouse with one teacher. In 1890, the town of Washburn had 10 district schools and a free high school. The district schools were comprised of children in the primary grades up to the high school grades. The reason for so many different schools was that during the late 1800s, there was a problem of transportation. Because of this problem, there was a school placed upon about every 2 miles on the country roads for the younger pupils. It is stated in the annual town report of the town of Washburn in 1890 that there was a total of 411 pupils in attendance. 10 years later, the number grew to 466, and in 1931, it was 541. In 1961, the school enrollment was almost 600 students. The first class to graduate from Washburn High School was in 1907. The graduating class was made up of 6 girls and 1 boy. The principal of the high school at that time was Ethan L. Allen. In 1908, Washburn High School formed its first basketball team. There were 6 members on the team. A new high school and grade school building were completed and occupied in 1911 and 1912. In 1935, the high school building burned and a new one was built on the same lot in 1937. After 30 years of use, the old high school building was replaced with a new modern building. The town of Washburn has had, over the years, many fraternal orders and clubs. Some of these organizations were the Ladies Police Corps, Patrons of Husbandry, G.A.R. Foresters, Woodmen, Orangemen, Junior Chamber of Commerce, Rebecca's, American Legion, Odd Fellows, Rotary Club, Eastern Star, Masons, and several others. In our over 100 years, the town of Washburn has had many disastrous fires. In 1864, 3 years after the town was incorporated, there was a great fire that practically leveled the town. Among the major buildings that burned down were the starch factory, sawmill, flour mill, and the library, which contained 200 volumes, which were presented to the town of Washburn in 1861 by Governor Israel Washburn. This fire created such havoc in the town that for years, events of importance were dated as either happening before or after the fire. In 1913, fire again destroyed many places of business among Washburn's Main Street. 2 years later, in 1915, the drugstore, James Story property, the lumber mill, grist mill, and veneer company were destroyed by fire. In 1916, the Washburn Fire Department was organized with E.W. Higgins as the first chief. 45,000 cords of pulpwood were burned in the fire of 1925. This fire burned and endangered the town for 2 days and nights. In the spring of 1954, the town of Washburn had a very damaging flood. Extensive damage was done to the town swimming pool, which is one of the state's largest natural swimming pools. Much damage was done also to the many stores and homes. The floodwaters were so high that some people took out their canoes and paddled down Main Street. In the three major wars of our country, the men of the town of Washburn were very loyal and patriotic. In the Civil War, the town of Washburn was well represented, with over 45 men, 8 of whom gave their lives. The town was well represented in both World Wars and also in the Korean conflict. And many of our boys today are either serving or have served in the Vietnam War. The different means of transportation in and around the town of Washburn played an important part in the town's progress. The first settlers came to the site of the town of Washburn by way of the Aroostook River. The river means of transportation was used very extensively. A few years later, there were roads built on both sides of the river running to Presque Isle. There was also a rough road running to the town of Caribou. The town was the owner of a ferry that made regular runs across the Aroostook River, located just south of the principal part of the town. In July 1901, a steel bridge was built across the river, and the use of the ferry was discontinued. In 1971, this old bridge was discontinued. It was just a one-way bridge, and this was taken down, and a very new, modern two-way bridge, two-lane bridge, has been put up in its place. In 1961, Washburn celebrated its centennial year. The theme for our centennial program was Potatoes, Our Product, People, Our Progress. The program opened on Thursday, July the 20th, and this was Homecoming Day. A parade was held, an antique parade with many antique costumes. The women were dressed in the old-fashioned costumes. Men sported beards, and they had many floats that pertained to the olden days. Athletic contests were held in the afternoon, and then in the evening was a queen contest and a dance. The candidates for the queen was Joanne Maynard, Diane Plissy, Phyllis Russell, Linda Wood, Sharon Spomberg, Janice Boyles, Diane Kinney, Jeannie Baker, Sally Kidney, Lorraine Turner, Pat Fournier, Carolyn Bugbee, and Frieda Charette. Miss Sharon Spomberg was chosen as the queen, with Linda Wood and Diane Kinney as runner-up. Mr. Harry Humphrey crowned the queen, and a very delightful program was held. The judges for this contest was Mrs. Richard Waite of Caribou, Mrs. R.A. Page of Caribou, Mr. Andrew J. Beck of Presque Isle. The girls were escorted by men from the Loring Air Force Base. Ushers were Paul Russell, Bertram Sands, William Churchill, and Wendell Humphrey. Music for this ball was furnished by Ken Matthews of Caribou. On Friday, July the 21st, was Queen's Day, and they had another parade, which was the Queen's Parade. And then at 9 o'clock that day was a water carnival at the Washburn Pool, and at 5:30 at night was a chicken barbecue. And then at 8 o'clock was a historical review. Saturday, July the 22nd, was Old Timers Day. It was a grand finale parade at 12 o'clock noon, and then at 1:30 was a horse show, and at 6:30 was a baked bean supper, and then at 8 o'clock was a square dance. Many other activities were performed at this time. The oldest citizen at that time was Roy Hersey. He was 90 years old, and the next oldest was Betty Humphrey, and she was 89. I think special recognition should be made to Myrtle Smith, who served as the librarian of the Washburn Memorial Library for 47 years. She retired about 2 years ago. She did a beautiful job in giving us the fine little library that we have today. Through her labors and efforts there, she has made many friends down through the years, not only in Washburn, but in Crossville and the surrounding areas. Another person that I feel should be recognized is Everett Cunningham, who taught agriculture in our high school for around 40 years. He He did a beautiful job and is well liked by all the people in the community. Another person who has served well for over 30 years is Reed Blackstone, who has been pastor of the Christian Advent Church in Duntown all of these years. I feel these people should be commended for their faithful services to our community.